Luke's gospel, chapter 18. Jesus began to speak a parable unto them, saying how that men ought to always pray and not to faint. He was talking about enduring prayer. And that men ought not to faint, meaning not quit. Don't give up. If you don't give up, there's something to be achieved. And he said, in this parable, he said there was a certain unjust judge in a city. And the unjust judge did not fear God nor regard man. And there was also in that city, in that certain city, a widow. And she came to the unjust judge and she said, "Avenge me, my adversary, of my adversary." And the unjust judge would not at first, but because she came to him continually, he said within himself, "Though I do not fear God, nor regard man, because of this woman's continual coming to me, I will avenge her of her enemy, lest by her continual coming that she weary me." And Jesus said, "Shall not God, who hears his children that call on him day and night, shall he not avenge them? Though he bear long with them, I say he will avenge them speedily," expeditiously. God was the opposite of the unjust judge. He wasn't holding anything back from them. He wanted to get it over to them. He was bearing long with them during their faults and failures and shortcomings. But as soon as he could get it over to him, he speedily got it to them. Hallelujah. And that at the end of that, he said, "But when the Son of Man comes," after that whole parable, "will he find faith on the earth?" He wasn't talking about the faith of would somebody still believe in God, or would there be any confessions of Christ. He was talking about the very faith that he just described. Would people continue to contend in prayer, in enduring prayer? Would they stay? Would they believe that it worked enough to stay there? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The 8th chapter of John is pretty remarkable. You know, that's the one the Bible said that he went into the temple early in the morning. A man after my own heart. I like early. And he sat down and he began to teach the people. And while he's teaching in the temple, you know, the temple's not just the inside holies of holies. There's this huge, huge outer court where people mingled, and a courtyard. That's where there was rocks and stones and all that. I mean, it was, you know, just outside. But he taught them, and then that's where they brought the woman to him that was called an adultery. And they said the very act, and you know that whole story. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." As a result of his question, he who has no sin, let him be the first one to cast the stone. And they went out one by one. And And he was left alone with her, but he wasn't left alone with her alone. He was left alone from those that went out. There was still a great group of Pharisees that began to thereafter badger him. And the dialogue, it's a heated back and forth and back and forth, an argument. I mean, so much so they're just deriding him and hating him vehemently. When somebody tells you, you're the son of fornication, you're a Samaritan, the word got out, he was virgin born. I know you're not virgin born. Somebody impregnated your mother. They were slandering him every way possible. When he said at the end of that chapter, but there was no conclusion to that chapter, it just went into 9, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, that was all she wrote then. Then they'd brought a woman in to be stoned. Now they picked up stones to stone him. The Bible says, and he conveyed himself, and as he passed, and then chapter 9 is the same setting, and it says, and chapter 9 starts with the word and as he passed, he's coming out of the temple, leaving them behind, and there sits a blind man. Blind man, and you know, the blind would come and they would beg at the entrance because that was a good place to beg. Church people going into church usually had money and they were going to go pay their tithes, so that's a good place to beg. So he's sitting there, this blind man, and have you ever been the object of a conversation when you're in the room and people are talking, but they're not talking to you, they're just talking about you? That's quite rude. It's like the interns that follow the doctor and they just walk in and they're looking at somebody in the bed and nobody says hello or anything. They just, the interns start talking, and that's how the disciples were. They pass by and this guy's sitting there and they just start talking and they say, Master, they must have been full of themselves. Master, who? We've got a question, a doctrinal question for you. Who sinned that this man is blind? Now, there was, if you study history on this, there was a doctrine that sickness came about by sin, and even infants could be born having committed sin. The Pharisees had all kind of nonsense like there is today. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be this way? And Jesus said neither. He answered the question. Not all sickness comes about by sin. That was the end of that. And then he went into what he was about to do. But that I may work the works of him who sent me, while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And he did something amazing. He spit on the ground. Now, the Bible's it tells us everything we need to know, but it's very abbreviated as well. Meditation fills in the gaps. But you know who we serve, how congenial he must have been. While they're talking about him, I just can imagine him kneeling down in front of this man and begin to talk to him. Sir, good morning. Yes, who's there? Well, I'm Jesus. You may have heard of me. Yes, I've heard of you. Maybe. He's picking up his spittle in the dust and beginning to create, the Bible says, King James says clay, just mud. spit and dirt make mud. This was pretty amazing. Most all of his miracles most all of them were immediate miracles, happened on the spot. When he left Jericho, Bartimaeus, blind at the gate of Jericho, cried out to him. He brought, had them bring Bartimaeus to him. And he was healed instantly, right on the spot. Right on the spot. But Jesus is going to do something very unique here. As I see him talking to this man, introducing himself for the moment. Sir, I'm Jesus. Yes, I've heard of you. I'd like to help you if that's okay with you. Yes, I'd like to be helped. What I'm going to do is I'm going to place some mud on your eyes. And then I'm going to ask you to do something for me, if you will. Yes. I'm going to ask you to go and wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. Will you do that? Yes, I'll do that if you'll say it'll help me. Do that, sir. Go. So he takes the mud that he has made from his spit and he plasters his eyes with this mud. And the Bible doesn't say that Jesus went with him. In fact, it really bears out that time had passed in the day before Jesus saw him again, and it does not say that any of his disciples were instructed to go with him. He's just instructed to go to the pool of Siloam. Years before the birth of Jesus, a reigning king by the name of Hezekiah, good man, one of the grandsons of David. There was a report that you'd have to go back into Isaiah. We don't have time, but the Assyrian king, Sennacherib, he's that king that came and besieged the city, and God went out in one night and with his angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. Hezekiah had years in advance, I suppose, heard that he was gobbling up towns and cities and coming forward to besiege Jerusalem. Just outside of the city is a spring. It's called the Gihon Spring. The Gihon Spring is it's a pretty amazing spring because it's one of the world's intermediate springs, meaning it springs up intermediately. It's not an artesian that flows continually. It's an intermediate. It only flows, when I read about it, it was just certain times of the day. It flows all the time, every day, but in the spring at different times, in the summer, in the winter, and different times. Gihon flows down through the city, and it flows into a pool, and that pool is Siloam. Now, Jesus had said to the blind man, "Sir, go, I'm sending you to Siloam to wash. Go to that place and wash. Go there and wash." Now, blind people can be very, very healthy. Yeah, very healthy in every way, healthier than a lot of people, except for whatever time they're blind, they're blind. I'm sure that it probably was not this blind man's trek to daily go to the pool of Siloam. In fact, from the temple gate where he walked out and found this man to the pool of Siloam. It's estimated about 1,000 yards. Now that's not feet, that's yards, okay? So I want you to understand this. 1,000 yards is, that's 10 football fields. That's pretty good distance. Now the Feast of the Tabernacle was going on. You go back to chapter 7. It had ended, it was towards the end of that week. Hundreds, maybe thousands of new arrivals were in the streets. And he asked him to go 1,000 yards away to wash his face. Now, blind people can be very healthy, but usually they need a helper to get somewhere if it's unfamiliar. They need a companion. At best, if they're very familiar with where they're at, they'll fill familiar walls and settings to find their place, and they can maneuver like that real well. But Jesus is asking this guy to get up from where he's at and go 10 football fields away. Oh God. We're going to have our revival if we faint not. Here's a guy. The disciples didn't go with him. Jesus didn't go with him. Perhaps I'm going to ad lib. Perhaps he had a helper. Perhaps he had a companion. Perhaps somebody said, I'll help you down the streets. Is what's unfamiliar to you, I'll help you. Now, the first 100 yards, the words of Jesus were probably still ringing in his ears, so he probably felt pretty encouraged. But this is the Feast of the Tabernacle. The streets are small, cobblestone streets, and the congestion is probably very strong because of extra outed crowds, and the streets just carry everything. The shepherds come through, the caravans come through, the shopping carts or the carts of the vendors that are selling their stuff in the streets. So you've got someone trying to maneuver to a place where he's never been, blind, but maybe he's got a companion. Well, the first hundred yards, he's encouraged enough because Jesus has asked him to go. Although there's probably, I'm not blind, I haven't been blind, but I'm sure there was challenges even with the companion, like, okay, step this way, no, step that way. And can you imagine the people's faces that are watching this guy? I mean, this guy's walking with another person holding his hand or guiding him, and he's blind, but he's got mud on his eyes, trying to get to where he's going. The first 100 yards maybe is okay, but then after he gets much past that, what's that bumping me on the legs? What's this? What's that? Well, that's okay, hold on. We just got to go around this. It's a cart. Excuse me. There's a continual 1,000 excuse me. Excuse me. Okay, can you help us get by here? Okay. What's these little things? Well, that's a herd of sheep coming through. Then they have to stand over 10 minutes while a caravan comes through of camels. At some point, I can just imagine him thinking like this. Why did I leave my safe zone? Why did I leave that? Oh, companion, friend, this is ridiculous. I have gone 200 yards, 300 yards, and nothing has happened. Remember what Jesus said. Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Can you imagine him getting 500, 600 yards down the road, having to negotiate, bumping in, fighting. And he's probably thinking, this is so stupid. I don't feel nothing. I don't sense nothing. There's nothing that makes me think that at the end of this journey, there's anything in this for me other than just the stupidity of walking down the street with mud in my eyes and continually bumping into people and things and obstacles and different things that just absolutely go against. Just take me back. Sit me down. I was at least comfortable. Comfortable being blind and making whatever money I could. No, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. 800 yards, 900 yards, 1,000 yards. Now, I've seen pictures of it. I've looked at it. You can today, if you go to Israel, you can walk Hezekiah's tunnel. I'm not claustrophobic, so I'd like it. It's a large tunnel. It's the conduit that Hezekiah built, that tunnel, and it's called Hezekiah's tunnel, and he built that tunnel from the pool of Gihon, and he built it to get the water into the center part of the city so it could flow down. And so if this guy did siege the city, which he never did at that time, they'd have plenty of water. It's a big tunnel. They've got lights in it now. And the water is only probably shin high. You can wade through there. And they've got the actual pool. They found the actual pool. They know for sure this is the actual pool that Jesus sent this man to. Gihon's spring empties right out into it. There's steps going down into it. Now, can you imagine that guy getting to the top step and saying this, this is ridiculous. Friend, this is ridiculous. I don't feel anything. My eyes aren't burning. There's no tingling in them. There's nothing. Just do it. The companion says, just do it. Just step down. He told you to just wash your eyes. When he disrobed into his undergarments and stepped into that pool, because a lot of people would come there and swim or bathe. It's very small, about the size of this church. It's not real big. When he stepped down, he may have thought, this is it. I can see again, but there was still no sight. He may have been discouraged when he bent over and cupped his hands into the pool and brought the water up to his face. He may have thought, there's still no tingling, there's no fire, I feel nothing, I sense nothing. And yet, when he went to the full measure, and when he washed the mud, the spittle off his face, for the first time, this man was born blind. For the first time, he squints his eyes to see if it's possible that what Jesus said was going to take place. And light is shining through. And the splashers or the swimmers, for the first time, he looks at water and he looks at the sky and he looks at the face of perhaps the person that helped him get there. And the reality of exactly what Jesus said would come to pass, came to pass. But it took obedience. It wasn't just the mud and spit in his eye. It was elbow grease. It was elbow grease. It was the willingness. Jesus said, when I come back, will there be those who are willing to stay the course? Listen, I don't know where we've come to. I don't know if we are. All I know is that Jesus, if you want to say, Jesus has spit in our eyes. He's made clay and he spittle and put them in our eyes and said, go get me a revival. I want something that I left. Go all the way. Take the full distance. Go to the very end. Don't stop. Well, Jesus, we've come how far? How far have we come? 500 yards, 600 yards? I don't know. Lord, can't we just have it now? Go all the way to the end. Oh, Lord, there's been so many obstacles. Sometimes it just looks like it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Nobody wants revival. Nobody will fight for it. We're less than now than we were when we started. Yeah, but you hadn't got to the pool yet. Okay, we're standing at the pool. Is that good enough? No. Wading in the water, is that good enough? No. You must go the distance. Now the Bible says that when he returned, whew, I'd have liked to have seen that. There had to be Rocky music. Da 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 da. The Bible there in John is just so, it's so abbreviated. It said he went and washed and returned, but it did say this, that his neighbors and the friends and the people, when he began to come back, they began to say, this is the, some said, no, it's not him. Some said, yeah, it is him. Some said, no, it looks like him, but it's not him. And he said, yeah, it's me. It's I. I am the man. I went and washed. Would you stand with me, please? You guys sing that last song. I'm going to ask you. I want you, now if things have to, this is not our regular church service, we're probably not even, I could care less about regular church services. I want revival. That's what you're here for. I want things taken, turned upside down, and shook out. But a few of you, and maybe more than a few will go the distance. Maybe more than a few. Maybe you'll go all the way to the end. Maybe you won't let distractions. Maybe it won't be more comfortable for you to just go back and be nominal. Maybe you'll fight. Maybe every distraction you'll fight, and you'll get all the way to the pool. And even the freshness of the water won't satisfy you. You'll do the fullness of the command. Now, I know there's kids in here that are just chomping at the bit to do something different. That's okay during this, but I'm going to ask as many of you that will. Maybe there's not enough room. Maybe we'll push back the first row or two. I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me. If you'd like, I'm going to ask you to take a knee at this altar. I'd like for us to spend a few moments crying out to God and saying, God, we can't live without this revival. We cannot live without seeing what you've asked us to see accomplished. So please, and if you will, please, as many of you that will, step forward. Find a place. If you'd like to bend your knee, if you'd like to stand, if you'd like to find a place to lay down, that's fine with me.
I run. place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul,
down in my soul, Lord,
can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you,
I want more.
just, you can continue to just worship and listen to these few verses. This is in Isaiah, the 35th chapter. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall be waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land spring of water. In the inhabitants of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, a way, it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, no ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be not found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah chapter 42 says, I, the Lord, have called thee. I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes and to bring out the prisoners from the prisons, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. For the former, behold, the former things are come to pass, and a new thing do I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the ends of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all therein, and the isles and the inhabitants. And I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known, and I will make darkness light before them, and the crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall not turn back, and they shall not be greatly ashamed. They shall turn back and be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to molten images, ye are our gods. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. Oh, the opening of the ears, but opening the ears, but heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Now, if you read from the very beginning of chapter 42, you understand that he's prophesying when he says, who is as blind as his righteous servant? He's actually prophesying of Jesus. When he's speaking of his blindness, he's not speaking of a physical blindness or a deafness. He's saying that he will be undaunting. He will be unchanging. The servant of the Lord is blind and deaf to all of his surroundings. He sees only that which I see, saith the Spirit of grace. Those that are called in this last hour will be blinded to the things of this world. They will become deaf to the rhetoric and the things that they hear of the flesh and the things that they hear of those who are not following me to perfection or following me for that perfection to be made real in them. Much will be spoken, but those that are deaf and those that are blind will follow in one path and press for one path. As my righteous servant came undaunting in his assignment and received his assignment and would not vary therein. Become blind to the things of this world. Become deaf to the call of the flesh. Follow in the footsteps of He who has come before you. Follow in His footsteps until all things are complete and made perfect, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just a little bit more, please. Just a little bit more. You're doing real good, all of you. Just a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Sing it again, please.
Glory. Well, I love coming to a church where words are felt. Where words are felt and I just heard. I was going to be very careful whether to say something or not, but I feel it would be disobedience if I did not. You know, everything Pastor said this morning, and before Almighty God, I lie not to you, and I pray to God that you believe every word that I say. I pray to God that you do. During that exhortation of the blind, and please, hear this, I beg you to hear me. One thing was going through my mind the whole time during that exhortation. And it had nothing to do with the physical thing that I'm going through right now. Nothing to do. As he exhorted under the anointing, under the power of God and powerful words that were heard, I felt them. But all I could think inside of myself was what he was saying. The words of Jesus, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me, in other words, finish. Go those 1,000 yards. Don't stop. Follow me. I think we've made mistakes in the church. We've given over to human ideas on what God really wants from us as far as being fishers of men. We've given ourselves to great ideas instead of just knowing that we have to follow Jesus. Because if indeed we're going to be fishers of men, which to me the end result, if we're fishers of men, the end result of this is a full 100% blown revival. It's only found in that following process. Nowhere else I can say before God during that exhortation, I did not feel sorry for myself. I was not thinking about myself, but I could just hear these words just pouring out of my spirit, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me. Oh, but maybe 30, 40, 50 times those words kept coming out of me. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. We have to finish. It's like I am almost growing numb to the fact that in the natural, I can't see. There's so many more important things in this world, humanity. People without legs, without faces, with needs, dying in the hospital. This is far, far beyond me and you about what we're going through personally. That will take care of itself in the finding process. And I'm just so happy and joyful that I am part of this little church that is with all our hearts trying to live the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unfragmented, because the church has fragmented the gospel, the true meaning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the gospel heard. Matthew 8 and 9 is the gospel seen. That is what we're after, the full 100% unfragmented gospel of Jesus Christ. One more thing that I could think about, it would be awesome. And I did think about this. I thought about my wife. It would be awesome for her to go home tomorrow and for me to have dinner ready for her. Because she does everything in the world for me. She is my sidekick right now. What a wonderful thing for her to come home tomorrow and for her husband to have dinner ready for her. I'm telling you, it's right around the corner. We just keep following. We keep pressing, following, pressing, coming to church, hearing Pastor Bronk's words right now are so incredible and filled with life and anointing. Let's press. Let's come to every single briefing and hear the mind of Christ that's coming forth from our pastor. I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, come to the briefings. Come to the Holy Ghost filled and led briefings. Lay everything to its side. Kick it to the curb. Come to the briefings on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings. Jesus said, follow me. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. If we follow him, we have to follow him. And right now, God is leading us so much through the wisdom and through the anointing that our pastor is living and walking in. My God, these words are vital right now. He is the shepherd of the flock. Please, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you, kick every distraction to the curb right now. Kick it to the curb. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. I'm guaranteed one thing, that if I follow him, if I follow his doctrine and his lifestyle, we will receive that we're seeking for, which is a full 100% blown out revival. But it comes with humility. It comes with meekness, and it comes with a hearing ear. So I beg you again, this is about Jesus. And the briefings on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings are incredible. I beg you, church, I beg you, lay any pride to the, just lay it to the curb. Kick any distractions to the side, and let's come together and receive what the Father has us to receive. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Perfect words straight from the Father. Thank you, Father. We're not going to dismiss and we're not going to have much more service, but I'm going to ask you to just as quietly as possible to sit down, find a seat. And in just a few moments, we'll let you go.
Thank you, Jesus. During worship, the Spirit came to me and spoke into my spirit something that's very dear to me. And I've been here long enough to know that whatever the Lord says to me, that there's others that can hear the same thing. But I just want you to know this is what he was speaking to me. And I don't want to repeat everything that Pastor said, but it was basically the exact same thing. And what he was telling me, if you want to be that blind man, if you want the strength to walk that 1,000 yards, if you want revival, if you want to work through these end times, we have to come to understand that these times will no longer be ours. They'll be his. And he said, in the realm of things that we yet cannot see, things are passing away. And he says, this is our last time. If we want these things, the only way we will ever make it, we have to establish that personal relationship with him. Because when the revival comes, we might not have that time. We might be in that fervent prayer for days and weeks and months. We might not have time. If we want the strength to succeed, create that personal time now.
Yes.
And not wait.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Good. Very well. Good. Good job. Good job. Hallelujah. Well, we had church. I could have given you a lesson that was really good, and we're going to go back into Jude next week. I'll get down here where I can hear myself. I can't hear myself up there. Hallelujah. Did you have a good time? One more time, would you lift those hands up? Father, we just worship you. Lord, let us hold these things so true. Gold. We receive gold. And all the exhortations have been true. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you an opportunity each week to give. And some weeks we don't say much, and this will be one of those. We ask you to search your hearts and be faithful. The church is supported by this group, really, this group. So I'm going to ask you to prepare an offering right now. And then I'm going to have us all stand and bring it forward. I'm going to ask you to just open up your hearts. Father, we thank you that you are the God. You are the Lord that supplies and meets all our needs, their needs, and the needs of this house according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now I'm asking you, as you supply their needs, that also that the needs of this house is supplied. And I thank you that it's not just them, but it's those around the world. It'll not always be primarily this body, but your body elsewhere in every place that hears the sound of your voice. And it's upon you that I place my faith, and all of us placing our faith upon you for our personal provisions and for the provisions of this house. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is in revival. And Immokalee Family Prayer Center has all of the funding that it needs for this revival. And we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No church tonight. Next Sunday night will be a young adult service. No church tonight. We'll give the night off to get ready for tomorrow. Have a wonderful Labor Day. Enjoy it. Eat whatever you want. But then Tuesday or Wednesday, go right back in. What day next week or what days next week is your fast days? You don't have to say it out loud. I know you've already got them figured out, so whatever days are, I'm not trying to put a condemnation on you. I'm telling you, if we're going to go someplace, you can't on Sunday morning, woo, and then now you got to put the elbow grease to it. The feelings, the goosebumps leave. I could preach all day on that guy walking. He didn't have a goosebump one. All he had was elbow grease. Elbow grease, elbow grease. Revival's about 95% elbow grease and about 5% of the feelings. When you don't get your eggs on that morning, you'll say, I want to go back to the feelings. But it will be you pushing away, and it'll be you spending some time that day in prayer. Is the elbow grease to changing your family situation, changing your personal situation, and getting your life where it gets in line with God one day saying, that's it. Assignment complete. All authority that is necessary is there. You finally washed the clay off. Bam, bam, revival. Hallelujah. But for tomorrow, let me give you some godly advice. Make your ribeyes medium rare and put lots and lots of bacon in your baked beans. Now that's godly advice. Hallelujah. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. If you have something, please bring it down. Amen. We appreciate it. Bring it forward, please. We love you. We will see you Wednesday night.